Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Friday Steve Jones Show, where we get you ready for the weekend. And it could be a busy weekend for college basketball as teams start to scramble a little bit as they look for a spot in the big bracket. Wichita State being one of those that are scrambling right now. Number one seed last year, and maybe the best nickname in college sports with the Shockers. They're desperate for a quality win right now, and they may have their last and only shot coming up against Northern Iowa. So that's one of the things we may be discussing. Yesterday, Brandon Gowden from Bleeding Green Nation, he was joining us from Philadelphia and talking a little bit about the Eagles possibly trading up, and the rumors are that they would trade up to number one before the draft starts, so that they are absolutely sure they get Marcus Mariota. And some NFL insiders are now confirming what he had told us yesterday, that the Eagles would be willing to make a deal. One of the opportunities would be the Raiders if they don't make a deal for that number one spot. And I don't think that's a big surprise to a lot of people. Pat Kerwin, by the way, the NFL insider from CBS Sports, one of them that says that they would trade up with the Raiders at number four to get Mariota if everything falls where many people think in the draft. The question is, do the Eagles want to take that chance? And that was one of the things Brandon was talking about yesterday, that the Eagles probably don't want to take that chance. So they are going to end up just not taking an opportunity, or taking the opportunity and maybe going right to number one. But again, he thought that would be sometime earlier before the draft starts than, you know, maybe like a couple of days, or maybe a day before a draft day itself. If you missed yesterday's show, make sure you go to stevejonesshow.com, click on podcast for Thursday, and you can hear the comments from Brandon Gowden if you're an Eagles fan. And I know a lot of Eagles fans are worried about not only will they go to get Mariota and what will they give up to get him. So again, a lot of stuff to get ready for, including the home stretch for college basketball into March Madness.
That's
Chuckles
right.
Joins so, us.
Chris Daubertin from bloggingthebrackets.com is going to join us a little bit later in the show. Talk about bracketology, one of your favorite topics. You love bracketology. You love it. This is like your bag. It's amazing. Every year, Kevin, last year, the 68 teams, how many did you get right in the bracket? It was amazing in terms of like the actual bracket, like all the way through.
I think I missed the national championship, but I missed like 12 games total.
Amazing.
Yeah, and somebody with my limited knowledge. That's the frightening part of this.
Oh, no, no. And that is the key word right there.
Frightening or limited?
Frightening. We're going to talk to him. And also, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. I think it would be very important for me to go out and find out from him about your Reggie Bush theory.
Huh? I think that's a great idea.
Your Reggie Bush theory. You're losing like the Jason Worlds of the world and things like that, and you think James Harrison's a great signing and so forth.
Did not
but
say that.
But you want to sign a running back.
I did not say that they should let Jason Worlds go. Did not say that.
Yeah, you did.
Did not say that.
You'd rather have Reggie Bush, okay? Because
I said if Reggie Bush is out there on a cheap, get him.
We're having fun today. Kevin Stallings. You see Kevin Stallings did, the basketball coach?
No.
At Vanderbilt?
No, I heard he apologized, but I didn't get the details on it.
Yeah, he was going through the line, and one of his players did something unsportsmanlike. How about that? I guess that's the best way of doing it. He said something. And it's not the first time he's ever done that. And Stallings got mad at him, screamed out. And I think he said something like, you know, you do that again, I'll kill you, or something like that. I guess he yelled it. And, of course, a microphone
picked
it up.
And there was a microphone, yes.
Yeah. All right. And, of course, he's feeling a little bit of heat today, obviously.
First rule in broadcasting, and anytime you're around broadcasting, if there's a microphone nearby, assume it's live.
Yeah, but he doesn't know.
No, he didn't. Seriously. No. This was a different situation, right?
They're going through a line, right? I know Kevin Stallings. His son Jacob played with the State College Spikes. Kevin was up here all the time in the broadcast booth with me many, many times over the course, kept in touch and the whole thing, and so forth, okay? If my son could play for James Franklin, I'd let him play in a heartbeat. If my son could play for Patrick Chambers, I'd let him play in a heartbeat. Dave Paulson, I'd let him play in a heartbeat. Joe Susan, I'd let him play in a heartbeat. And I would let him play for Kevin Stallings in a heartbeat. Okay? He said, look, I handled it wrong. He's right. Now, we're in a gotcha mentality, a gotcha society. Ha, gotcha. You strayed off the balance beam of life. Number one, the kid was wrong. Okay? Number two, Kevin was right to say it. Number three, he was correct in disciplining him verbally about it. Number four, he said it wrong. Number five, he apologized. Good. Sometimes I'm sorry is actually good enough. And then number six, the player said, look, I love my coach. Okay, he used the wrong words. You know, what he said was inappropriate. He knows it. Okay.
Well, maybe you gotta be fined, suspended.
Okay, just come on. Let him handle it internally and go from there. I mean, the kid Baldwin said, Coach Stallings, the best coach in America. I felt no offense to anything. We're both fiery people. That's why I chose Vandy. Obviously, the kid's devastated. So, yeah. But, like I said, I would have my, if Kevin Stallings recruited my son, he'd be one of the coaches across the country where I'd tell him you play for him? He's, yep, I'd let him play for him. I know him, like him. He's a good man. So I'd let my son play for Kevin too. Now, I don't know how much he'd learn, but
football, tons. Basketball, nothing. Baseball, somewhat.
Football tons.
I didn't say it was all quality stuff. I said you'd learn tons. I didn't say it was quality information. You'd learn how to throw your hat in disgust. I had one player one time go, Coach, that must have been a really bad series. I said, why do you say that? You threw your hat three times.
Uh-oh. That's not good. Did you see the sprint car that was stolen?
Yes. It wasn't in the best of shape either.
No.
I mean, it had seen sheet metal had seen better days.
Not good.
So that was stolen.
How do you steal a car like that and no one notices it?
Well, it was inside the the truck.
Oh, they stole the whole truck.
They stole the whole thing.
Oh, see, that's the part I didn't understand. All right, now that makes. I was going to say, how do you steal a car that's logoed up? Well, even the truck would be logoed up. I would think that would be noticeable,
And how would you identify the car? Well, it has a big number 44 on it, and it says Golden Corral all over the place. I thought it was out on deliveries.
Well, you know, the 44 Ford just ran really well today, and now we don't know where it is. We just thought it was in the truck, and now all of a sudden it's gone.
Oh, my goodness.
In NASCAR, it is, and in most auto sports, auto racing, it is a prerequisite. When you're doing the interview, you have to mention the make of the car and the primary sponsor when talking about the vehicle.
Oh, I know.
And if you were in last place and you wrecked on the first lap, you still have to say, I thought we had the car that would win today.
And I always love how, when they're interviewing them, they change hats.
That's true. Yeah. Or have a drink with them. Travis Quaffle was the driver of the vehicle, and he tweeted earlier today that he wished they had a LoJack on it.
My goodness. Oh, I stole the car. Wow. Unbelievable. Yeah, bloggingthebrackets.com. We're going to talk about that. And I got in touch with Joe Lenardi today, and Joe Lenardi thinks he can do the show with us next week.
Oh, that'll be great, yeah. Oh, yeah. By the way, I think it's a Reed Sorensen car. I think I might have said Travis. Travis was the one that commented on it, but it was not his car, I don't believe.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's great to have. Yeah, I mean, you talk about the premier guy when it comes to...
Yeah,
the brackets.
Now, Chris Dobbertine will have on in a little bit. Chris has done a great job with it. So, I mean, he's a great guy to have on. Yeah, but Joe Lenardi. Although I was kidding Lenardi today. I was kidding Joe. I said they're now having you do the promo into halftime. I said coming up on the Mazda halftime report. I said they won't even let Girardi and me do that. And Joe got a kick out of that. We're also trying to work on getting Jim Delaney on the show in April. And made progress in that regard today, too.
Have you ever seen one particular thing take every genre of everything by storm the way this dress was, the way this dress has, and the color of this dress? Are you familiar with this one?
I am, because last night when I was done with the show at Damon's, Brian Daly's children were there because their high school basketball season, I think, is over with. And they were up there last night with Tracy. And they said, have you seen this? And they wanted to show me the dress. And I looked at the dress, and I said it was white and gold.
And that's what my first thought was, yeah.
Right, and of course, others look at it and they say it's blue and what color? Blue and black.
Blue and black. I don't see black, but I can.
No,
see.
No, I'm saying, but
yeah, but
supposedly, how you look at it indicates whether you're a dominant left brain person or a dominant right brain person.
That's the way I understand it. Unless, of course, you're in the sports field, and then it all depends on your team colors. The Ravens saw purple and black, while the Vikings are pretty sure that the dress is purple and gold. And, of course, the Rams jumped in and said, nope, it's blue and gold.
But it's one of those fun things that everyone is weighing in on as to what they see. And I guess if you're left-brained, you're more analytical, mathematically oriented. Color means something to you as well, in terms of the vibrancy of colors and so forth. Brighter
you're more optimistic. And then if it's the right side, they say if you see that it's blue and black, what did they say something about tendency to be, you're very creative, but you also can get to depression and things like that. I mean, it was like, oh, it was like,
this is way too scientific for me.
Right. I mean, well, no, I was reading this and I was getting depressed reading it. oh my goodness.
The only tweet that I saw that I thought was way out there was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they saw pewter in red. I'm like, all right then.
Well, that's okay. Based on their attendance, they're the only ones that saw that last year. it's one of those fun things where obviously not a single person on the planet is taking it seriously. I guess the dress is actually from London.
I think I heard that too, but I wasn't sure.
And I believe the worth of the dress is actually 50 pounds. It's not one of those $500-$600 Neiman Marcus Nordstrom deals. You know, it's a dress that's worth 50 pounds. I think it's fun. I mean, I don't know about you. I just think it's fun.
Oh, I know. I thought it was, and I see the sports world, especially the NFL teams, having fun with it as well.
Yeah. But you look at it, what do you see? Well, I saw white and gold. And Kevin saw the same thing. Now, I don't know what the rest of you out there saw. Maybe you saw something different. But you can weigh in on that, too. Hey, let's take a break. We'll be back with more in a moment. News Radio 1070 WKOK.
At Sunbury Motors, their customers have loved their prices for 100 years. But they're going to be crazy in love this month with invoice-less rebates. Wanna see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia. Yes, February, the month of love, is invoice-less rebates on all of our new Kias. How about a 2015 Kia 5 LX for $13,999? Our race-winning 2015 Optimus starting at $18,998. And we can't forget about our SUV lovers. We have 23 2015 Serenos starting at $21,515. And all of our new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf or at sunburymotors.com. SMC. Selling more cars and loving our customers for 100 years.
Tax and tags extra. All applicable Kia customer rebates apply. KMF bonus cash and financing to well-qualified customers.
Looking for fresh ideas for your home? Visit the Central Susquehanna Builders Association's 28th Annual Home and Outdoor Living Show. Hosted at the Bloomsburg Fairgrounds on February 27th through March 1st, you'll find a variety of home experts who can provide you with exciting ideas and services. This year, we're featuring exhibitors, comfort specialists, Future View Solar Solutions, Fogarty Homes, and more to help you get a fresh start on your special project this spring. And don't miss out on this year's Lego contest. Kids, race the clock to build the Lego home of your dreams and have it evaluated by our expert judges. Test your skills, win prizes, and more. Registration is filling up fast, so sign up today. Fresh ideas, fresh starts, all at the Central Susquehanna Builders Association's Home and Outdoor Living Show. Join us at the Bloomsburg Fairgrounds Friday and Saturday, February 27th and 28th, 10 a.m. until 8 p.m., and Sunday, March 1st from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. Admission is $5. Please visit csbapa.org or like our Facebook page for more details.
The best running back in football is Le'Veon Bell. Kevin Herr is the only guy on the face of the earth that wants to take him off the field.
No, it's not that, not even close to my.
Okay, but
you never listen to me, do you?
Huh?
Exactly.
You sound awfully bitter.
How's that different than any other day?
Well, finally, see, that's the first step to recovery, admitting you have a problem.
Yeah.
Hey, today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street and Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Stock up. There's more snow Sunday.
Yeah.
And the pickles aren't better there either.
Hey, we had 6 inches here this morning. Can you believe
really?
We got 6 inches of snow here. School was delayed here. I couldn't believe it.
The year was 1915. Thomas Edison was lighting up the countryside. Abigail Geisinger was starting a local hospital. Henry Ford was building the Model T. And J.O. Mertz founded the Sunbury Motor Company.
100 years later, Sunbury Motors has become the most established and recognizable Ford franchise in all of northeastern and central Pennsylvania. In 1915, Sunbury Motors had an inventory of around 10 vehicles. And today, there's over 500 to choose from. They had 2 employees then and almost 200 now. SMC continuously improved for you. Sunbury Motors has a complete service department with a separate diesel shop and quick lane for your convenience. A state-of-the-art body shop and frame and alignment shop, along with one of the largest Ford parts operations on the East Coast. In the past several years, Sunbury Motors has also added the full lineup of Lincoln and Hyundai vehicles. Everyone is welcome to become part of the SMC growing family. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. Thanks, J.O.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewer's Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewer's Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hola. Buenos dias. Bonjour. Guten Abend. Ciao. Hi, you. Kevin hates that.
That's because I had enough trouble with English in high school. I didn't take a second language.
You do know you've left yourself wide open for a...
I know, but I'm just sharing.
I'm not going to take the bait this time now. We're not
going to...
There's
a new one.
We'll resist. Nah, we'll resist. Come on, we've been able to get up to now, okay, to a... Yeah, come on.
I didn't say I was great at English. I just said I took English.
Now I want to point out to all the Kevin Hur lovers out there, and you,
all
you
both, three of them.
I mean, you both know who you are. Okay, all right. That he's putting himself down. I'm not. He's doing this himself. All right, stock up Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in summer. It's going to be more snow Sunday. Look, stock up now. Pickle bar, unbelievable. Imports, domestics, microbrews, did I mention beer? Best selection in the area, no doubt. Snacks, roasted peanuts, fresh and hot every day. Soft drinks, all at Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. An hour from now, we'll find out about the vehicle Kevin turned in this week. Chris Dobbertine, bloggingthebrackets.com. Chris, welcome. It's great to have you back on the show.
Good. How are you, Steve?
I'm doing really well. Let's start with the Gonzaga issue. Watched them last night play the University of San Diego, and for the first 17 minutes, not exactly sterling basketball, especially offensively. But they won the game again. Another good second half, they won. How do you view Gonzaga, who right now ranked third? Are they a one seed if they stay clean through the championship game of the WCC tournament?
That's kind of what I think is what is going to end up happening there. Right now, taking a look at my most recent bracket, I moved Villanova up to be the fourth number one seed, actually the third number one seed. They're ahead of Duke, along with Kentucky and Virginia, who are basically pretty much locked in.
Right.
One thing that's working in Gonzaga's favor is that you do have two ACC teams kind of up there competing for a one seed right now in Virginia and Duke, and I don't think that both of them are going to end up there on Selection Sunday. One thing that I've hammered home over the years is that the selection committee loves championships, and if a team can win both the conference, regular season, and tournament titles, that's going to give them a nice little seeding bump on Selection Sunday. And I really think what's going to happen is Gonzaga is going to end up getting that bump if they can end up completing the undefeated regular season in the WCC on Saturday against BYU and then winning the WCC tournament early in championship week in Las Vegas.
Okay. And they'll be done before everybody else. So they will have whatever happens cemented for them before anybody else even hits the tournament trail among the Power
Pretty
Five
much.
Conferences.
And a thing that kind of helps them out, too, is that two of their biggest teams in competition are Villanova and Wisconsin, and they're going to face far more difficult conference tournament path than Gonzaga probably is.
Right, exactly. All right, let's get to the Big Ten. You mentioned Wisconsin for a moment. Wisconsin and Maryland are there, and as somebody who's seen everyone now in person except for Iowa, and I'll see them coming up tomorrow night, the next six, I find no difference between them. Is my evaluation correct based on what you've seen?
Pretty much. I mean, there's going to be a lot of Big Ten teams in that 7 to 10 range, and maybe even a little bit further down when you think about Illinois, Purdue, and Michigan State at this point, because Michigan State's profile is not, you know, the typical Spartan profile. They have, you know, two top 50 wins, and it's Indiana and Ohio State both at home. They had that horrible loss to Texas Southern, which happened at home, and the RPI will punish you if you lose to a lower-ranked team at home in particular. So that's going to be a team there that really is going to have to be careful, especially after they lost to Minnesota last night at home again, another thing that's going to hit them a little bit. Keep an eye on what goes on with Illinois. They have Northwestern coming up at home. Usually think that would be an easy win for them in Champaign. But Northwestern's playing like the second-best team in the conference right now. So there's no telling, you know, what's going to happen between now and, you know, when they cut the nets down in Chicago on Selection Sunday afternoon.
I just saw Northwestern last Saturday, and they are playing very well. Then they went out and beat Indiana this week on top of it.
Yep.
So they're playing very well right now. When you talked about Michigan State, they lost to Minnesota last night. Give me an idea. Does reputation, when you have a grouping of teams, does reputation help somebody over somebody else, despite the fact that it's not supposed to?
I think it does, but I also think that the way Tom Izzo's schedules really kind of helps them out, too, because even though they're struggling and they had that bad loss and to Texas Southern, they had a bad loss in Nebraska, the fact their RPI is still 32nd, thanks to all the work they did in November and December, I think that's going to help them out, even with that, you know, potential reputation issue kind of hanging over their heads. Is, you know, is that really, you know, kind of because of what they've done in the past? They've done enough things that the committee likes, even if they haven't won as many games as you might want them to.
All right. When you look at the Villanova resume, what would it take for them to be a 1 instead of a 2?
Like I said, I have them right now as the third number 1.
Right.
That's kind of questionable.
Sure.
They have 9 top 50 wins, which compared to Wisconsin right now, who's kind of the main team in competition with them, Wisconsin's 5-2 against the top 50. And again, that's mostly down to the fact that the Big Ten is a little bit down this year. I think Villanova really is going to have to end up winning the Big East tournament this year. They pretty much, they've locked up the regular season title. They're going to have to actually finish the job in Madison Square Garden, something they didn't do last year, which hurt them, to actually get that spot.
Wichita State will play Northern Iowa tomorrow. And Wichita, and that should be one whale of a game. Van Fleet, the point guard's fabulous. If you haven't seen Seth Tuttle play of Northern Iowa, you're gonna be impressed. But when you look at the strength of schedules of the two, at least on the RPI base, Wichita State's about 103 and Northern Iowa's about 190.
Yeah.
But they're both ranked in the top 12.
Yeah.
So what lines do you put the two of them on? Because obviously one of them will not win the conference tournament at minimum.
Yeah. I think the potential of a split conference championship there really kind of hanging over that whole seeding picture. I think that if Northern Iowa, who, you know, completely blasted Wichita State when they played, you know, in Wichita, can do that again, you know, they're going to be set up to be probably that last number four seed, which is kind of where I have them right now. But if they happen to split, I think both teams are going to end up on the five line or maybe even the six line, depending on, you know, what the committee thinks about their non-conference schedule, because the Valley also not being as competitive this year as it normally is,
right,
also hurts them. Because, I mean, the best conference win that's available there is Illinois State, and that's right around 87, 88 in the RPI, other than each other. So they're not even going to be picking up, you know, many quality wins in Arch Madness coming up next week.
A team I'm anxious to watch tonight, you know, here's Friday night basketball. You don't usually watch Friday night regular season basketball, but Iona is playing Manhattan, I believe, tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Iona is a team that is 23-6. They're in the top 50 in the RPI. Chris, mm-hmm. do they need to win the tournament, or could they actually get an at-large because of what they've done? Because, again, their strength of schedule is similar to Northern Iowa's.
They have a very similar profile, but not exactly the same profile that they had back when they actually did get an at-large kind of out of nowhere. Back in 2012, they were 40th in the RPI. This year, they're 50th.
Right.
The big difference is they played a slightly tougher schedule that year than they did this year. The Metro Atlantic was a little bit better than it was, and they also had a nice non-conference win over St. Joe's at home that kind of gave them a little bit of a boost.
Exactly.
So that reflects in the fact that they don't have the top 100 wins that they had back then. So I really think they're going to probably have to win out to actually get there, because they're 0-3 against the top 100 when they played about seven games against the top 100 back then, and actually won three or four of those.
All right, let's go by conference here. How many could the ACC get? Because it's deeper than ever.
I think the ACC could end up getting seven. A lot is going to depend on what happens with Miami. They play North Carolina tomorrow, and if they can get a game there, get a win there, that's going to really set them up well. But they have a very difficult game coming up against Pitt, and Pitt's another team that's kind of right there on the fringe. RPI's 33rd. They have two top 50 wins. They have a couple of bad losses. They're going to have to finish strong to actually get in there. I think, really, Miami and Pitt could be the difference there as to who's going to be that seventh potential ACC team.
How many could the Big Ten get?
The Big Ten, I think, could end up getting eight. Again, Illinois is kind of hanging on right now.
Yeah.
And Purdue is just a little bit above that. But I think the first couple of days in Chicago are going to be really vital to figuring out what happens to the Big Ten's actual hopes.
Big 12, a lot of people say it's been the best conference this year. How many do they get?
I'm going to say six right now, because Texas is absolutely fading fast. I saw them in person in New York back in November and thought, wow, this team is going to be absolutely fantastic. They'll, you know, be up there on the top four seed lines, and they're 3-7 in their last 10. And even though they don't have any bad losses in there, they're not playing like a team. For example, they're going to have their final game against Kansas State, mm-hmm. which would be a bad loss at this point. And they're setting up like a team that's actually just playing their way out and is going to pick up that bad loss eventually, either there or in Kansas City in the Big 12 tournament.
I was driving home after broadcasting a game, and Arizona State just beat Arizona. I thought, oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So then last night, for a couple minutes, I watched Arizona State play at Utah, and they were down 41-9. I thought, this isn't good. So how many's the Pac-12 get out of this?
I think the Pac-12 is going to get three. Arizona and Utah are very much set, but it's going to come down to what happens in Las Vegas between Oregon, Stanford, and UCLA. I think only one of those three teams is going to end up getting in, just because of what's going on elsewhere.
The SEC, Kentucky and the rest. So how many of the rest might make it?
Well, Arkansas at this point is pretty well locked up.
Right.
They're kind of on that five line. They could end up getting a four, depending on kind of how things go the rest of the way. The other teams are kind of in that same position as those Big Ten teams. The other four, Georgia, Ole Miss, LSU, and Texas A&M. Georgia, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M are in the top 50 right now. So there are five SEC teams in the RPI top 50, which is really helping everybody out.
Right.
LSU's just outside of it, I think it's probably going to end up being 5, because one thing about Texas A&M and Ole Miss and Georgia in particular is you kind of look at their profiles and you look a little bit deeper and there's not quite as much there as you'd like to kind of reflect those great computer numbers. A&M in particular really needs to keep cheering for LSU, who they swept. But LSU's 53rd, 52nd in the RPI, depending on where you look right now. So they're just outside that top 50.
Yep.
So right now, if you look at A&M selection sheet, they have a whole bunch of red marks signifying losses to top 50 teams. They need LSU to get up there to really boost them up.
Okay. Atlantic 10. That's always A&M. That's usually one that gets 3 or 4. Do they stay there?
I think they might sneak in 3. Davidson has a couple of big games coming up
Davidson's
in the next few days. And they're kind of have a nice late push coming up. They play VCU next Thursday, and the conference title might very well be on the line in that one. That's a team there that I would definitely watch. UMass, Rhode Island, and Richmond, kind of too many holes in their profiles to really kind of suggest that they're actually going to be there at the end. But I think potentially a third team could end up stealing a bid in Brooklyn to join VCU and Dayton, who I think are pretty well in right now.
Right, yeah, I would think they would be in regardless of what happens. Big East after Villanova.
Big East after Villanova is down to 5 after them because Seton Hall's completely fallen off, and Creighton and DePaul are pretty much non-factors at this point. But everybody else is there. Xavier's really done a great job of kind of boosting themselves up, as is St. John's. I think they both really solidified their places in the past week or so.
Conference that is really, I mean, last year had a great perception, but does not this year as the American. What did they get out of this? 2?
I think they very well could get 2 because Temple is fading very quickly. The wild card to watch there is Temple, Tulsa. Tulsa's best 2 wins are against Temple, but they did very little in the non-conference, so that's really kind of pushed them back on the bubble. But the wild card there, of course, is UConn, simply because the tournament's going to be held in Hartford. So we don't really know what's going to happen, especially with the final being moved to Selection Sunday afternoon opposite the Big Tens. That's a game that could potentially, if UConn decides to wake up and play 3 really good games in a row somehow, that's a game that could really throw a complete wrench into the whole process at the very last possible moment.
Okay, one final question. Among the mid-majors, give me a couple teams that, if they don't win the tournament, get in and have a good seed line.
Ooh, that's really, really tough this year just because there just aren't that many out there that really kind of qualify in that position. I would think that potentially Iona could steal an at-large even if they don't have a top 50 win. It just is going to depend on what the committee thinks, in particular if they want to reward a mid-major that kind of played a lot of tough road games.
Right.
Another team I'd watch out for is Wofford, simply because they beat Iona.
Right.
They're kind of close in the RPI, and they won at NC State, and that's a victory that's looking better and better and better as things go, as the season goes on.
Yeah. Wofford is one that a lot of people would not realize, and Wofford's had actually a really, really good year to their credit.
Yeah.
To their credit. You're right. Thanks so much, Chris. Appreciate it. I think Wofford's, 43? I think a 43, 44 RPI right now. It's not bad. And so
They're in there. Again, it depends on where you look.
Yeah.
I have them at 54 right now. I look at basketball, seeing them at 54. So, but that's definitely in the range.
Chris, thanks so much. Thanks for carving out a few minutes for us. We enjoyed it very much.
You're very welcome, Steve. Anytime.
Chris Dobertine, bloggingthebrackets.com. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, as Kevin continues to fill out his brackets on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome. Great to have you with us. It's a Friday. Loving life. Kevin's got a big weekend planned.
Yeah. It all starts tonight with House of Cards binge watching.
All right. Kevin has a sad weekend planned.
I got a weekend with... I have no games or anything right now going on. So it's just going to be recover weekend.
Well, good. I don't know what you're recovering from, but that's okay. All right, you can jump in. We're going to talk to Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Looks like we had a good shot at getting Joe Lenardi on the show next week. I was kidding Joe today about hey, Leah, have you doing halftime intros now? He goes, oh, yeah. So we got that coming up. Put in a request for Jim Delaney for April. I know they're strongly considering it. It's going to depend on his schedule, you know, because his schedule changes all the time. But I know it's under strong consideration. Because they have assured me that, and it's somebody I like and trust there that told me that. So we'll see how that works. I got that rolling. And another big weekend of hoops coming up. Gonzaga last night. Boy, played a lousy first half and then beat San Diego. Like, they're the team. They're the one that really is the wrench thrower in all this. On number one seeds on the one line and the two line. Now, Wisconsin didn't help itself, obviously, by losing at Maryland. Well, Wisconsin has an excellent chance of being both the regular season champion and the tournament champion. And as Chris D'Albertine of BloggingTheBrackets.com told us just moments ago, the NCAA Tournament Committee loves that stuff. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Does he share Kevin's enthusiasm that Reggie Bush is the savior of the Steelers?
That's not what I said.
Does he share Kevin's opinion that Reggie Bush is the savior of the Steelers?
A help.
I believe savior was the word you used repeatedly.
You must listen to a different show.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.
CBS News, I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The drama will be over soon. A final vote is about to get underway in the House on funding the Department of Homeland Security past midnight. Let's go live to correspondent Stephen Portnoy on Capitol.